Greetings, the automatically deleted husband. Lots of things have happened, so hold on, I'll try to be brief. One is, and that's a attendee, you know, I have a copy of the video on Kozlowski.org, so it's right there for you to see, because obviously YouTube censors this. But it's Russian dad travels 1,000 kilometers to visit son on front lines. And, you know, that's kind of like interesting short. I watched it. And that's why the photo there, the son, and to see our son come, to see our son come back, that was, see, it's not just me who wants to see my son. Like, I want to see my son George, and Jack, and Zadok, and Walter. I think those are my sons. I don't remember anymore. Just because it's been over 10 years. But, you know, they traveled 1,000 miles. Cleveland to Lexington is only about, 1,000 kilometers. Cleveland to Lexington is only about 500 kilometers, so half the distance. Hey, we should be able to do this, shouldn't we? Couple things, you know, because I'm delighted that I actually got a lot of software done today. I was mostly in the mindset of cleaning things up because there were some things that are kind of unstable, so I tried to, been working on cleaning that up. But because I was in the mindset of doing some writing or interacting because of the video I did, I looked at an article that David Tullis sent out, and there was a paragraph in there. In the Hebrew Republic, God raised up judges for honor and warfare against raiders and idolaters. Quote, whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived, for the Lord relented because of their groaning under those who oppressed and afflicted them. That's Judges 2:18. And, you know, I thought about that, thought about the context, and I made a comment. And I don't know if it was a technical glitch, but it didn't show up. But be of good cheer. My comment was, you quoted Judges 2:18, but notice the start of the verse before. They did not listen to their judges. In the Bible, a judge would resolve issues by declaring how God's law is applicable in a given situation, but had no authority to command actions. When the people seeking a judgment ignore the Lord's commands by not listening to the righteous decrees of the Lord, but instead, quote, hoard after other gods and bow down to them, which is the rest of that verse, the Lord let them follow their false gods, as also seen in Romans 1. The call to the follower of Christ is to follow Christ. If a worldly judge or ruler makes a decree that is contrary to the command of God, quote, choose this day whom you will serve, Joshua 2:24-15. See, the point is, and this is something that you know, I try to engage several people on. It's, you know, when we read about the judges, if you look at the definition of the word, especially the Greek word, is the idea to discern. You'll find some cases where they talk about making rule, also enforcing. And I have done an exhaustive study in this, but there are those, you know, for example, Solomon. You saw the wisdom in Solomon when people came to him to make a judgment about, there was, you know, the two moms, one said, this is my child, the other said, this is my child. And he said, well, I'll cut it in half. You know, he determined who the real mother was because the one mom said, yeah, do that. And the other mother says, no, let her. And said, okay, well, obviously she loves the child more than wanting to keep him alive rather than keep him for herself. So that's why she got the child. So that's where it was a demonstration of Solomon's wisdom. But Solomon was king. He had the authority. He made the judgment and then could execute the judgment. So he was not a judge in the way like the book of Judges. You'll find that a judge would say, okay, you bring the evidence because of my insight or because of my study of the scripture or the knowledge of God, however it's appropriate, this is what I will declare the Lord says, set it between, in front of you, and I have no authority. And then you do what's right. And that's why you have the idea, they did not listen to their judges. It's not they did not follow through because the judge commanded. They did not listen. So in other words, if somebody says, this is what the Lord says, and you don't do it, it's not that the judge didn't have the enforcement power. It's that you didn't listen. And that's, of course, you know, as the verse goes on, hoard after other gods and bow down to them. So when a judge decrees something in the Bible, it's not a command. When we look at our modern context, you know, the judicial system within the U.S., where a judge has authority to have what he says enforced, it's apples and oranges. And which is very relevant to another comment that I did. There is a guy I've talked about him before. He has a thing called the Fuel Project. He's out of the UK, he has a series right now called Trench. It's superb. It's really, really good. And it's A Christian Guide to the Culture War, episode 34, the moral slide. That's what I watched last night. And he describes how in the 60s it was kind of the turning point where we started to see a decline in culture, specifically talked about marriage, where as he termed it, premarital sex or sex outside of marriage became acceptable. And then, of course, the homosexual marriage and he talked with the pedophilia coming on strong today, which is, you know, quite true. Including in the U.S. It was excellent. It was really excellent. I couldn't let it go. So I did something very unusual. I put a comment on YouTube. I did because he only had like 30 comments, so I figured it might get seen. You know, because sometimes when you see something that got, you know, 500 comments, it's kind of like, why bother? And so I think in my lifespan, I may have done 24 comments. Just don't do that stuff. But anyway, I wrote, years ago, I asked a then seminary student who became a seminary professor, what is the definition of marriage? I was given denominational documents, but not a case from the Bible. After years of study, I will contend the Bible has a simple definition. Marriage begins with sex and ends with death. It is defined in Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. This is repeated throughout Scripture. A clear example of when it ends is Romans 7:2. For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. If her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. A provocative statement and reiteration of Genesis 24 that directly equates sex and marriage is 1 Corinthians 6:16. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is written, the two will become one flesh. There's the often twisted Matthew 5:32. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the grounds of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. It is the husband, not the state, issuing the decree. The decree to divorce is not to end the marriage, but to send away, which removes the husband's responsibility for the wife. It does not set either party free for remarriage, as seen in Mark 10, verse 11 and 12. I mentioned the idea that we equate the judges of back then to the judges of today, because the judges back then did not have authority to execute a command, whereas what we see here in the same thing with the term divorce apoluo in the Septuagint or in the New Testament, the Greek, is the idea to apo off luo to send off, literally to off put. Or to send away. So it is not the idea of divorce. Well, it is in the one definition of the word divorce, but it is not in the definition of a state decree. That is not what it is at all. Because the state has no involvement. There is no party that can say this marriage is now over. besides the Lord. And he makes the, makes it very clear. Romans 7, you know, cause again, Romans 7, verse one is, this is for you who know the law, because the law is clear. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. So you take the word apaluo, translated as divorce, and then use a different, non-applicable definition of divorce, as in a straight decreed idea, and apply it as if the Bible says that. It does not. It does not. And, you know, the fascinating thing is, when I address this with people, they're gone. Why does the word coward come to mind? I don't know what that is. But anyway, I find this fascinating. So, but I figured if I put it on that site, maybe, you know, it's very similar to, you know, when I made, you know, I think this is the last comment I did, first comment in like a year or whatever, however long it was, when I did the comment to the interview with the harmonic atheist that Erica Lee had the interview with. And my comment was scrubbed. Well, I've had comments scrubbed. He scrubbed three comments. You know, one was a repeat of, will you engage me? He scrubbed it both times. And then I answered the one woman who asked about the relationship between Christ and the church or the elect, the bride of Christ. She asked that question, and I think I gave a good answer. He scrubbed that because you don't want people to hear that. If you think Christ is defensive. Another place that scrubbed my comments was Meadowview Presbyterian Church. Why would that be? But anyway, I figured this guy won't scrub them because I think we're on the same page. And I wanted to make it clear because he did talk about, you know, the term premarital sex from the Christian perspective. There is no such thing. Again, there's no such thing as premarital sex. There's no such thing as a child out of wedlock in the scripture. It's not there, period. Find it. Show me. Prove me where I'm wrong. Anyway. I did enjoy these interactions. I was disappointed that the comment didn't get on David Tula's article. I did write him, but... And I was encouraged. I did get a comment from Chris, and he did say my response on the trench video was concise. So I was encouraged by that. I did, you know, because of my current financial difficulties, the state has been assertive on the extraction of funds from my wife, and I actually said, well, actually the numbers aren't right, and so I was contending with them, and it's been months. I actually had a phone call, what was it, yesterday? Day before? And, to my shock, they said, okay, we'll send you a letter about a court appearance, telephone court appearance, which I think, what a mess. I don't want to do this because I don't want to do this because again, what they're doing is extracting and it's wrong. Yeah. But you know, what I did find out on the phone call was apparently my, you know, at the time they applied minimum wage to my wife in 2012, and that's what they've been using ever since. And I really wonder how did my wife buy a house, a suburban, and put five kids in private school at minimum wage? Just, you know, curious thought. So they never updated that. Of course, you know, I requested to get the 1099 form for me last year, because I only had income from Rapid for the first 6 months. So I could make the argument that I can be marked as minimum wage too, which brings the amount down radically. But we'll see what happens of that. So the issue is the letter arrived to me and it also went to my wife. And she's invited to be at the call. And I told the lady, I was scared of the living daylights out of me. I love that lady. I want to reconcile with her. But to hear her voice, I don't think she'd come, but to hear her voice directly. Because clearly, I mean, you know, considering the stuff on the wall, my wife hates me. That's no other thing I can assume. My wife hates me. And I love her intensely. I love her intensely. But one other quick thing and an important thing. You know, I did the video, you know, the slavery video. And one of the things I did is I dropped in the clip of the trailer for The Dark Side of Chocolate. Well, I now have added the link so you can go and get the video. But the other thing I did is I dropped in a clip from We Are Change, wearechange.org. these two guys who went on to, you know, what's known as, I think it's called St. James Island is the real title, but it's known as Pedophile Island. And they are, as far as I know, the only two guys that got there. And, you know, because I had discussed this a while back, I put that video on Kozlowski.org because YouTube censored it. I mean, it's gone. I mean, it's probably mirrored somewhere else, but it's now, it has been now since a while on Kozlowski.org. And so since I realized that, it's now linked on. So I, you know, because, see, the important thing to see there is this is how some people live and some of the things they do. And you could go look at that if you have the voyeurism idea. Oh, I think that's terrible. I want to watch. If that's your attitude, well, I think you got a problem. But to understand, this is disgusting. This is what they do, and they get away with it. And of course, the important thing I mentioned in the slavery video is, yes, you know, Epstein is dead. You know, and the common expression now is Epstein didn't kill himself, because I mean the circumstances around that were ridiculous. And Maxwell is in prison. But their customer list, I mean, the names, you know, because obviously I you know, in the video I showed Epstein with Prince Andrew, who's had some, I think, been disfavored within the royal family. But, you know, others, Bill Clinton, Bill Gates, apparently there was some interaction with Donald Trump, but I don't think Trump actually ever went to the island. Various other notable figures who have been there, but we don't talk about that. Again, because if you have that kind of power, if you had the power to be able to get in that island and do the various things that are done there in that level of opulence, you've got power to make sure no one's going to touch you, which I think is important. But, you know, the big disappointment really has been the lack of response, including through the direct emails I've sent to a number of friends. So this morning, while I was pondering getting up, I didn't want to get up, but I got up. But what I thought about was what happens if somebody sees this, who is a victim and wants that fighting chance I talk about. And what it hit me is, right now, it's not ready. I'm not prepared. And that really hit me hard. Because if somebody says, help, and I'm at the point where I say, I can't, That's a really big deal. That's a really big deal. So I ask about that to a friend. And in a little bit, an hour or so, we're scheduled to have a call to talk about it. The irony is, it's not my good Christian friends. It's not my brothers in Christ. It's my Mormon friend. I find that fascinating because I've actually worked with him. We'll just say I worked with him on a project to be a blessing to a third party. Why don't I see that? Where is the passion within the Christian community to show love in the difficult cases? I am struggling with this. You know, I remember early as a follower of Christ and being involved in pregnancy care center and things of that nature. I noticed then, it was still, you can do the fluffy things. You can do the light duty stuff. And if you get a crowd together, you can get a little more aggressive. But the really dirty stuff, you know, one of the reasons why I mentioned yesterday, the day before, how much I respect I have for the guys. I think, like I mentioned, there because I, a group that's, I think it was Jamaica, I could be wrong, or somewhere in that neighborhood, who would go and find these girls and rescue them. And then obviously, even more strongly, Oleg Melnikov, who has freed 1,900 slaves and apparently cost him his life. Beginning of my slavery video, there's some clip art and whatnot, and then it switches to a man, and it looks like an older man out in, a street. That's in Russia. That man was a slave, freed by Oleg Melnikov. That wasn't academic. That man was a slave. He was set free. I want to make sure I have the tools available to free a woman who is a sex slave, or even free a man who is a sex slave, because they're both there. Most are women, but a whole bunch of men and a lot of little kids. But anyway, I anticipate in a little while to talk with my Mormon friend. And the thing that I find such joy in is we can talk openly and honestly because we understand we disagree on our foundation. But we both, I believe, are striving to do the loving thing, to engage each other, and to know the truth. One of the other subjects, there are two subjects for tonight. The other subject is when I had the two Mormon gentlemen here in my home. Why? I engaged them. I sent email after email afterwards in silence. Why? You know, my suggestion, which I have stated in writing, was that it's a rite of passage, which is the reason I use that expression in the slavery video. It's a rite of passage. The reason people go through that process within the Mormon church is not to go out and find new members as much as to make sure these people who are members are more entrenched. It's a rite of passage. You now have something invested. The analogy I've used, obviously, is the face mask. Once you wear the face mask in order to perfect you from COVID-19, if you find out that the face mask is ineffective, it's kind of like, now I'll be embarrassed if I take that off. I don't want to hear that. To what degree is the same thing true within the Mormon community? Or, is this the truth? I contend it's not. But the thing is, unlike most people I know, I'm willing to contend on it and actually pick it up and read it. So, anyway, I'll let you know maybe later, Monday, you know, whatever, because my guess is there'll be a voicemail Monday. I don't know why that is. The power of hate. But let me tell you about the power of love. Someone who says, I'm not giving up on you. Someone who will go through the effort of doing that slavery video. Someone, instead of sitting here saying, forget the world, I'll just sit, you know, be a leech and live in retirement funds for my grandchildren. Let them pay for my life. No, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't do that. And I can't, just as I did in my comment on the Trench video. Marriage begins with sex and ends with death. My wife said that's not true. I gave you evidence. Show me from Scripture where I'm wrong. Good luck. The reason I am trying to reconcile my family is because I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Show me one member of my family or extended family who's doing the same. My lady, my wife, as demonstrated, I love you and I want you back.